Who's thankful for anything today? What are you thankful for? What? Lunch. Well, we don't have much time, so we better get going here. We'll be here one more Sunday after this. We're honored to be here, honored that your pastor allows me to speak here, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing being here. We love Western Hills Baptist Church. If we lived in, we had a great dinner with Danielle and John the other day. Thank you. If we lived in Phoenix, this area, we would be members here, preacher. You might not want that, but we would try to be. In another 5 days, Joy and me will have been married 16 months. And isn't that amazing how time flies? Just to bring that into context, 16 months is 64 weeks. Hmm. 480 days, 11,520 hours. Six hundred and 691,000 minutes, 41.5 million seconds. What do you think of that? Pray for Joy and I. We still teach a young adult class in Winnipeg, and it's been doing wonderful. We prayed last year. You teach the same class I teach, right? What age are you? Okay. Ours is 18 to 30, and we prayed for 10 people to get saved last year in our class, or that age bracket, and it took the Christmas banquet to get number 10. And so amazing. We saw so many saved, and we're thankful for that. We're praying for 15 this year. So if you want to pray for a Canadian Sunday school teacher, pray for Dawn. Thank you for opening in prayer. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to teach this morning on making an impact. There's a lot of things going on in our society that makes an impact on us, but we as God's people should have an impact on others as well. And look at verses 8 and 9. Let's read them together. You read and I'll read verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 8. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9, here's what we want to look at. But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth. Look at this, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, please bless the reading of God's word. Please bless the class this morning. You may be seated. I want to cover three areas here quick. Now, what time do you want? Do you want me to quit earlier today? Okay, all right. And three areas you want to look at here today, who we are, first of all, that we should be making an impact on our society. Number two, what do we do? How do we do that? And number three, our example. And I realize that we can't all be major impact people. But I think we somehow have come to the conclusion in society that, well, I don't need to do anything. You're a member of Western Hills Baptist Church, or you're not, whatever. You need to make an impact with the people you come in contact with. you come in contact with different people than I do, but all of us should make some kind of an impact. We turn on the TV and all that, it makes an impact on us. Everywhere we go, somebody impacts us. But for some reason, Christianity has somehow taken the stand the last while. We're such a minority now, and it's not that big a deal anymore that it doesn't matter. But it does matter, and it's who we are. And if you look at this, the first one there is that we are a chosen people. It's not chosen for salvation. You all agree with that? Say amen. But we are chosen for service. We're supposed to do something. And what am I doing? What are you doing for service to make an impact? We belong to Him. He bought us. It's amazing to me that God would choose a nobody like Don to be able to teach this class. But let me say this. If I this morning don't make any impact on this class or on you, then I have failed at my job. Am I right? We need to make an impact. But it's more than that. When I leave here this morning, I'm going to be playing pickleball. I need to make an impact when I get there. And so God has chosen me to make an impact. Why would He do that? Because He loves us so much. Am I right? God loves us so much that He wants to use us. He's the King of Kings. He's a Creator. He could have called the rocks to do the talking for us, but He didn't. He didn't. Aren't we honored that He would choose you or me to put forth the praises of God? What an amazing, amazing privilege, responsibility that I can go up to a guy, Carlos, that I don't know from anything, and I can tell him about Jesus. He could have had it written in the sky. Am I right or wrong? But He chose us to do that. The King of Kings. And if we don't start praising, Luke chapter 19, verse 40 says, if we don't start praising, the rocks will start crying out. We've lost that art a little bit of praising God. It's easy to complain about COVID. It's not difficult to complain about your president or my prime minister. But there's very little gain by that. But if we start praising about God and how wonderful He is, there's something to be gained about that. Am I right? And we need to make an impact because of who we are. We are a chosen people. We are royalty. He wore a crown of thorns so I could be royalty. We need to stop living like we're nobodies. We need to stop living like we are insignificant. We need to stop living like we're just sinners. And so we can't do anything. I'm saved by the grace of God. Am I right? Amen. And so are you. If you're saved, if you're not here this morning, you can make sure that you get saved today. Isn't that amazing? It's so easy. Salvation is so easy. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. Would you please forgive me my sin? Would you please save me? That's not difficult. That's why a 4-year-old, 5-year-old can do it, or a 104-year-old can do it. Am I right or wrong? Amen. We are royalty. I'm a priest. Not a Catholic priest, but I'm a priest for God. The priest's job in the Old Testament was to be the mediator between God and man. And he would go into the holy area. He would take the blood with him, put it on the sacrifice area. Forget the name now, and then that would allow him to talk to God and ask God to forgive the people's sins. But then Jesus came, and He was our high priest. He died on the cross for us. Now all of us, every person here now is a priest. That's what the Bible teaches. Am I right or wrong? We're a royal priesthood. I'm a priest. Do you know that I can stand... I can talk to God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I can talk to God. And I can talk to God on behalf of your pastor. I pray for Western Hills Baptist Church every Friday, Saturday night, every week. And if there's somebody who's not saved, I'm a mediator between God and him. And I say, God, would you please soften his heart, soften her heart, so she'll be prepared to receive the gospel. I'm that mediator. That's who I am. I'm royalty. Number three, we are a holy people. I'm adopted into a wonderful family. We need to stop living. I think I said that here once before. Let's stop living in the old family. I've been adopted into a wonderful, wonderful family. And all week long, listen to me. That's not only Sunday. That all 7 days of the week, you and I have a responsibility to represent this holy family. Am I right or wrong? Amen. But too often during the week, we throw this all aside and we're back living over here. We're hanging out with the gamblers. We're hanging out with the drinkers. We're hanging out with all of them. We tell the same dirty jokes that they tell, or we listen to the junk. We belong over here. You can't live in here all week and then come over here on Sunday and think it's all good. It doesn't work. We need to live here. We're a holy people. We're different. It says that we are peculiar people. This world is not my home, am I right? Our home is heaven. Let's get prepared for it. It's amazing to me how much praising goes on in heaven, but how little we get prepared for that. We better start practicing it here. Am I right or wrong? Amen. Amen? We need to practice it here. We need to be a praising people. Let's stop being as attached to worldly things. I was playing pickleball at home with a lady. Her name is Kathy. And she said, I asked her where else she played, and she said, I play in a Christian league. And Kathy's not a Christian, and she says, she made this comment. She said, the amazing thing about it was, Pastor, she said, I'm amazed how much Christians swear. And I thought, is that not strange? This was a church group. And she said, they cuss all the time. And I said, how often have you played with me? She said, a lot. I said, how often have you heard me swear? She said, I've never heard you swear. I gave her my gospel tract. I said, this is why I don't swear. I'm a Christian. I'm born again Christian. I'm not allowed to swear. Right or wrong? We are a peculiar people. We act differently. We don't do the same things. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore. If you want to make an impact this year, 2024, you better remember who you are. You are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're holy and you're peculiar. You better make it obvious in your lifestyle. Yes or no? Amen? Amen? Number two, what do we have to do? I'll give you a couple of quick points. I got to run through this. In order for you to accomplish this, number one, you need to stop using excuses for not accomplishing what you should be accomplishing. Why do we not win somebody to Jesus? Oh, I'm scared, or I'm nervous, or it wasn't convenient. Those are nothing more than excuses. Paul said, I fight a good fight. How about you? Keep fighting. Number two, impact people, don't quit. Are you surprised that, and everybody uses COVID as excuse for everything. The reason I don't go to church anymore is because of COVID.
What?
How long ago was that? How long are you going to keep on using that dumb excuse? Is that not sick? Oh, but I got to go fishing this weekend. Oh, a better one for America. The Super Bowl is coming. And you better miss church to watch the Super Bowl. Wonder how many people are sitting here will actually use that. I love watching the Super Bowl. I love watching the Grey Cup, but I will not miss church for that. Right or wrong? By the way, whatever your excuse is, I'm sure different than the ones I used, stop using it. You ever surprised how often we get a headache Sunday morning? Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because Satan knows that it works. Oh, I got a headache, preacher. I can't make it to church. Oh, you'd go to work. Oh, if you had a golf game, bless God, you'd be there. But church, not that important. Excuses. My dad used to say, you'll be no more sick at church than at home, so just go to church. And there's something to that. Now, if you get a deathly side, let me move on. Impact people don't complain. Do you ever get tired of all the complaining? I don't hardly watch news anymore. Oh, my word. Once you start the excuses, you start the complaining, then the next step is quitting. Have a positive attitude. I'm on my way to heaven. I got the hammer down. You glad about heaven? Are you glad about heaven? You glad that God is preparing a place for you? Wow. Somebody asked me one time, how come the streets of heaven are gold? And I said, the least lovely thing in heaven will be the gold. Can you imagine how gorgeous Jesus will be? Do you imagine how gorgeous people that you know that are in heaven are going to be in heaven? You're not even going to see the lousy streets. Right or wrong? Yep. Don't hang around complainers. Man. Wouldn't be hard for you to find somebody in this church to complain about something. Been in church for 50, 60 years now, and I know what it's like. You know something? Sometimes I found that I'm the complainer. Don't hang around with me when I'm complaining. Just tell Don, go to the altar, get it right. Get right with God. The complaining will quit. Yes, no? Impact people don't run from a challenge or a problem. Impact people are disciplined. Hey, just a freebie here. Ever wonder how disciplined Joseph was? He had this pretty little virgin girlfriend that he wanted to get married to. He knew that sleeping around was wrong, and it still is wrong today. Then one day she said, I'm pregnant. That must have been an interesting conversation. But listen to me. He said, I'm going to get married to her. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. But listen to this. For 9 months,
I will not be able to sleep with this girl. Talk about discipline. I read an article not 2-3 weeks ago. They asked people that were living to be 100 years old, what's your secret? They came back that the one reason people live to be 100 is that they're disciplined. How disciplined are you? Are you disciplined enough that you know that every morning this Bible needs to be read? Are you that disciplined? Are you that disciplined that you know that you need every morning to spend some time with God in prayer? Are you that disciplined? When Elaine died, I got this close, preacher, to stopping reading the Bible. I almost couldn't handle it, but I was disciplined. I didn't quit. I'm totally confident. If I had quit, I would not have met that lady. I would not have spent the last 41 million seconds with her. Discipline. Learn to be disciplined. Learn to be disciplined in your life. Learn to be disciplined. What is our greatest example of somebody making an impact? Obviously, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus made an impact on society. Jesus still makes an impact on society. Jesus made an impact on Don Sawatzky. Did he make an impact on your life? If you're saved, he did. He changed your destiny. Every one of us that's born, our destiny is that we're going to go to hell. But Jesus said, I'm giving you a gift. I'm giving you a gift. What do you have to do to get a gift? If I say, if you're good for the next week, I'll give you a gift, then it's not a gift. If it's a gift, you say, well, I'll do 40 push-ups, it's not a gift. If you say, I'll give you $100,000, it's not a gift. A gift is where you just say, thank you for the gift, and you take the gift. You take the gift. If you're here today and not saved, take the gift. Take the gift. Jesus had no degrees. He was not very popular with the unsaved people. Never was a pastor, never got called to that. Had very little training, had a small following, and they weren't overly faithful. But here's a couple of things he had. Number one, says in verse 35 of chapter 1 of Mark, he went alone to pray. Number one, he went alone to spend time with God. I try to make sure that every day, every morning, here's what I do. And I'm disciplined in this. I live and die by this. I get up in the morning, have my shower and all that, go get my coffee, can't live without coffee, and I go downstairs and have my private devotions. Read the Bible, read a devotion. I go into my office, I pray. Then I come upstairs, Joy is in her, in our bedroom, and we have another time of prayer there. We read the Bible one more time. Then I go to work. I try to make sure I don't go to work without first talking to the manager of the company. Are you with me? God is the boss. I'm not the boss of Best Buy Homes. God is. Am I right or wrong? And the quicker I learn that, the easier it works. Make sure you spend time with God every day. I pick up this book every day and I put my hands on the book and I said, God, thank you for allowing me to hold hands with you for just a little while. Just a little while. I love this book. The most precious thing, it's the only thing holy I will ever hold in my hand. Am I right or wrong? Till we get to heaven. Spend time with God. I can't possibly emphasize it enough. If you want to make an impact on anybody in 2024, spend time in this book every day. Number two, take time to pray. I wonder why so often Jesus went alone. I personally think that the conversation between him and God was too holy for mankind to grasp, too holy for mankind to be able to hang on to it. Does the Bible not say that you can't hear God's voice and live or something like that? Mount Sinai, when God spoke, what did the children of Israel say to Moses? We don't want to ever hear him speak again. We can't. The next time it'll kill us. But Jesus needed to go talk to God. And he did. And he prayed. That was right after he had, follow me, that was right after he had cast out a demon in verse 23, right after he had healed a lady, Peter's mother-in-law. The lady with the issue of blood, it says that Jesus said, virtue has left me. Virtue is power. When Jesus healed somebody, power left him. He would go back up on the mountaintop, get in touch with God, and get the power back. Get the power back. Don't you think we need it a whole lot more than Jesus ever did? My soul, we need the power. We don't see enough of it. Am I right or wrong? We don't see enough of it. Ask God for the power every day. Jesus lived an absolutely holy life, a clean life. So must we. We cannot live a sinless life, but listen to me, we do not have to practice sin. Too many of us get used to telling the lies or get used to whatever it is. I read recently that I think it's around 40-50% of American pastors watch pornography. Do we really think we can get away with that? Do we really think that that's okay? There's things that you and I do that we need to stop doing. If we want to have an impact on our society. If you're happy with not accomplishing anything for God, well then, I guess maybe you can not worry about it. Number four, Jesus was a soul winner. I would encourage everybody here, listen to me closely. If you've not won anybody to Christ in 2023, ask God to forgive you for that and promise him you'll do your best to win somebody in 2024. Pastor, if everybody at Western Hills Baptist Church would win somebody to Jesus this year, you'd have to expand your building. I'm only talking one person. One person. How dare we go through life? Carlos, how dare you, having accepted Jesus as your Savior, how dare you not tell somebody? How badly, listen to me, how badly do we have to hate somebody to not tell them that there's a hell that they're going to go to if they don't accept Jesus? We have no excuse for it. Here's what I do. Every morning I pray and ask God to fill me with his Holy Ghost power. My time is up. The power of the Holy Ghost is amazing. In Genesis chapter 1, he just breathed and things came into existence. He breathed on the Virgin Mary and she became pregnant. He breathed when Peter preached at Pentecost and however many people got saved. The power of the Holy Spirit. My experience has been that most Christians hardly ever ask the Holy Spirit for direction. Most Christians hardly ever ask the Holy Spirit to fill them. That means you got to get rid of everything else. You can't have a little room here all by yourself that you have a lock on that he's not allowed into. He better be allowed at 100% of our rooms. Am I right or wrong? I asked the Holy Spirit to fill me. I dedicate myself to him. I surrender to him. I try to make sure that when we go to a restaurant, I went to get a haircut this week. Anna is her name. And I gave her gospel track. I said, Anna, I'd like to see you in heaven one day. And I said this. I said, Anna, if you pray this prayer, I'll see you in heaven. I said, if you do not pray this prayer, I will not see you in heaven. That's basically what I tell everybody. I have a little card that I've made up with my name on it, phone number on it, hand it out. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of it. It's easy. Anybody. We went to Olive Garden. The young lady there said the same thing to her. I said, if you pray this prayer, I'll see you in heaven one day. I said, other than that, I will probably never see you again. But I sure would love to see you in heaven. Let me ask you something. My time is up. Who will you try to reach this year, 2024? Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? Start asking God to fill you every day. Tell him, I'm prepared to witness for you. Please lead me across the path. There's a reason. Listen to me. There's a reason since we got married 15 months, 16 months next Friday, 15 months, we've seen 15 people get saved in our travels. We had 10 people get saved in our Sunday school class. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because every day I ask God to bring me somebody. Every day I ask him to bring me somebody. Does he every day? No. Oh, and some days, even if he brings somebody, I won't witness to him. I'm not that great a soul winner. But I do on a regular basis. Let me ask you this. My time is more than up. Preacher's going to be mad at me. Who here would say this morning, everybody look here. Who would say this morning, Don, to the best of my abilities, in 2024, I will pray and ask God to lead me into somebody's path that I can witness to and win to the Lord. Who would say that? Who would say that? All right, a bunch of hands up. A bunch of hands up. Please do that. Please do that this year. The most biggest impact you will ever make on anybody is to tell them the good news that Jesus saves. Sorry for going over time.
You always have an impact on me. Let's say a word of prayer, and we're going to have the choir head over to go over the song. Lord, thank you for the lesson this morning. I pray your blessings on service today. Thank you for your grace. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.